The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 1st of July, 2020. On the podcast today, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about the following companies. They have news out today: Bushveld Minerals, Greatland Gold, Eurasia Mining, Ariana Resources, Kepi Minerals, Soul Gold, Ramblers Metals and Mining, and Metals Exploration. Plus, as always, I have two lists for you: the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see both these lists, top 10 versions of these lists, at voxmarkets.co.uk, where you'll see a host of other content worth checking out there. We've got SP Angel Morning View, actually, the newsletter out. Oncommune's lung blood test received green light in Brazil. News from them. Bazant Resources, Vesarian, all that. Plus, you, of course, our COVID-19 index. What's the biggest rise there today? Gene Drive is the biggest rise on the COVID index out of the 20-odd stocks. And the biggest faller is React Group, and that's down 10% to 1.3. You can check that COVID-19 index out, by the way, at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Are you tired of missing news about stock market companies you follow? The Vox Markets app helps investors stay ahead by making sure you never miss an important update. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You're right, John?
Yes, I'm good, thank you.
Now, I'm looking now today, there's been this kind of, sort of demonstrations in Hong Kong. And of course, China's signed this deal to say they're now taking over Hong Kong pretty much. And has that had any effect? Because I know Hong Kong, China, it consumes half the world's commodities, essentially. And when there's bad news in China, it knocks commodities. Anything happening with the commodity prices at all or not?
Well, the gold price is up a bit because it does create a bit of uncertainty in financial markets. But to be honest, as a piece of news, it's so well flagged. Everybody knows that the Chinese were bringing in this new security law. Mm-hmm. It's not a great surprise that they've moved to lock up a few dissident protesters. No, that's not about to collapse financial markets. Nobody thinks that China is about to sink Hong Kong. And actually, the news that is probably more important today is what's driving the copper price, which is China's Caixin manufacturing PMI grew at the fastest level since December last month. That was in June. So fantastic recovery in their economy there. And that is driving copper prices well over $6,000 a ton now. And in fact, that means that copper's beating just about everybody's expectations. It hasn't dragged the rest of the metals complex higher, but certainly copper is the beneficiary there. And we saw some news, I'm not sure where it was reported, but palladium demand, or shall we say demand for palladium from the South African miners, seems to be increasing. And of course, life is very difficult in South Africa at the moment, with lockdowns on underground mines. So there's a big disconnect between the supply that the miners can do and the demand that China needs for demand for gasoline vehicles, because people aren't buying diesels so much anymore because of the particulate issue and the pollution. So and not everybody can afford an electric vehicle because they're more expensive. So gasoline sales have recovered very well in China, and palladium demand is increasing. So that's quite exciting stuff. Palladium prices, I think, will go over where they were at the beginning of this year, probably in the next day or two.
Yeah, and it's funny, the new law in China now, basically they're going to arrest you for protesting. So beforehand they couldn't, of course it wasn't the same laws as China, mainland China, but now if you're protesting, it's what's called a security threat. So that's the way they get around it. So you've got to have a bit of guts to start protesting in Hong Kong now, I think.
I think you do, but I think what's really driving gold prices is just the huge money printing that is expected around the world and has been pledged. We've counted up about $16 trillion worth of pledges, so government pledges so far, and the inflation that is quite likely to bring in the future. Couple that with a forecast for a weakening US dollar, so gold looks set to break new levels, probably break something over $1,800 an ounce. Probably, I think the next support level is somewhere around 1815.
Futures are saying that now. It's at 1805, so that's the highest it's been. Let's go back. I don't know. When's the last time it was 1805? Several years back, wasn't it? Let's have a look. Must be about 8 years back. 1805. I can't go back that far. Scroll back. Yeah. Yeah, so it's doing well there. I don't hold any gold now. There we are. I'm back to literally 2012. I'm at 1820 got to the high there. So that's, okay. So that's where it has to get to. Marvellous stuff. All right, there's gold doing very well, and it is odd that gold and equities doing well. I mean, it's because of the Fed, of course, and all this money getting printed, I suppose. But there we go. John, news-wise on companies, what's in fact? Yeah,
news. Lots of news this morning, so I'll run through that. Ariana Resources, they've made a partial disposal of the Salabinas and Zenit assets. So that's quite nice for them. Then we've got Bushveld Minerals. They didn't put out an RNS, but there was news out of the American university, MIT. And whenever MIT says anything, it's usually pretty significant because these are guys who managed to get things done, like many universities in the world, but MIT are to be taken very seriously. And they've made some improvements in electrodes for vanadium redox flow batteries. And even small improvements like that will make a big and very significant difference to the performance of a flow battery. So this could be very good news for new interest in the vanadium flow battery space, shall we say. And I think this could become quite material for a company like Bushveld. So yes, it's the technology side of what Bushveld do, because the basic cash flow comes out of producing lots of vanadium at very close to the world's cheapest operating cost level. So that's a nice bit of news for them.
Sorry, the gold price, I came back to the chart, it's 2011 September, it was last at these levels, so it was 9 years ago, pretty much September, just under 9 years. Bushveld, talking about Greatland Gold, you've had some news on those, about gold, what's happening there?
They've got an additional license in the Paterson region of West Australia. It covers 65 square kilometres, so again, it's another step forwards in what they're doing. They've got a big land holding there, and so there's more interest from the majors like Rio Tinto and BHP in these license areas now. Everybody's looking for the next big deposits because there's been so little discovered in recent years. So these land holdings are becoming more material, which is important.
Do you know what? Let's look at this. On the 6th of January, it was just under 2 pence a share. Now it's 12.2 pence a share. So it's a nice rise there in Greatland Gold, isn't it?
Yep.
Cool. You mentioned also Eurasia. Bit of interest there or something there?
Well, Eurasia. They put out the annual report this morning. There's lots of information in that and some quite bullish stuff on the palladium market, talking about the impact of mine closures in South Africa on the palladium market, and strong fundamentals and a worsening structural deficit in that market. So, and that's what we're seeing driving the palladium price, along with the very positive news on manufacturing output in China. But then they put out two announcements this morning. So they've launched a formal sale process under the UK Takeover Code, and they've appointed UBS as an advisor on that. So that's pretty interesting news. And we'll see what comes out of that. Will one or two of the South African platinum majors come in and say we want to own this business in Russia? Because these mines are they have hard rock and alluvial projects in Russia, in the Urals. The alluvial project they've been working, and the hard rock project they have finance pledged from a Chinese business, a very serious Chinese business. So I think they're looking for alternatives and how to monetize the value of this, particularly with palladium prices being so high and palladium being so hard to get hold of in the world. And if anyone's going to come in and buy this business, it's more likely to be a Russian buyer, maybe Norilsk or somebody like that. But there are other companies that will be interested. Maybe one of the big world mining majors might decide to step in and get involved. But certainly it's a very big province from a palladium perspective, and Eurasia Mining have a big first mover advantage in that, and they know quite a lot about the area, and they've defined there are at least several million ounces of PGM material defined in that area, and there is evidence of much more previously defined under the Russian code.
Yeah. Okay. And again, another stellar riser. Look at that. From last year, October, it was literally half a penny, even less than that. And the 24th of October, it was, 0.46 a share. And now, 7.2. So that's, 13 bagger? So nice there if you're in on that. But marvellous. Anything else? Oh, talk about gold. You mentioned there was news from KEFI, wasn't there?
Yeah, KEFI Minerals. They've been very busy actually, because we've been talking to them on a number of levels. But they have reduced the funding requirement for the Tulu Kapi project in Ethiopia. So that comes down to $221 million. It was previously up at $242 million, so about a 10% decrease in the capital cost expected there. And I know they've been working, talking to all the different parties to come in and for the lending and the other elements within the funding of that project. So it's all moving closer to fruition, hopefully. And that's looking quite interesting. So, yeah, I think quite a lot of interest in KEFI Minerals these days, because it's one of relatively few gold projects that are oven ready and on the starting blocks.
But it's been like that. I mean, how close is it now? Because it seemed to me forever and a day now that KEFI's been talking about funding, and it's been dragging on for a long time. Is it just me, or has it been a long time?
No, it has. It's been a long time. They've had to look at the project in different ways. It's not been easy to pull together interest for funding in Ethiopia, but they've worked through it methodically and carefully. And let's face it, the biggest thing that makes this project work is the gold price going up. And suddenly projects like this that are seen in slightly difficult jurisdictions where people haven't been building a lot of gold mines become very popular indeed. So yeah, it's KEFI have everything to play for, and I think there's a good chance that either they will build the project, or maybe somebody else will step in and say we'll do it.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? With the price going up there, it's in your favour. You know, the wind blowing in your favour there, so it's going well. Okay, I can't see the gold price coming down massively at all either, really. Can you in the short term?
No, it looks like it's going to continue to go higher. I mean, there's so much uncertainty in the global environment, not just from the coronavirus, but from the impact of the recession. There has to be just a great deal of stimulus and money printing, and you know, in gold, if you consider that gold is a currency, but where there's no government is able to print it. I mean, there are a limited number of mining companies that produce gold, but as fast as they produce it, it gets absorbed, as far as I can see.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, actually. You're right there. It's amazing how the economics of many a small cap company with maybe a BFS level or DFS level, or you know, how they've been improved by the gold price, you know, over the last couple of months, and now they're pretty getting a lot more positive responses from potential funders, do you think?
Well, and it's been a sort of triple whammy for them, because not only has the gold price gone up, increasing margins, but actually the depreciation of local currencies has reduced their costs, and the much lower oil price has also massively reduced their costs. I mean, oil and energy is normally about 30-40% of your cost base, and the oil price absolutely collapsed. So it's fantastic. Many of these gold miners will have seen margins go to over $1,000 an ounce, which is extraordinary profit to make.
Yeah, yeah. Marvellous stuff. Anything else happening out there, John?
Well, SolGold announced they were going to make an offer for Cornerstone, which owns 15% of the giant Alpala copper-gold discovery in Ecuador. Mm-hmm. And so that's really just a big consolidation there, and that's what they want to do. So why not? It's always better to own 100% of a project rather than 85% of a project. It helps with the financing. It just always makes sense on the assumption that project is going to go ahead, that is. But it's a very big project. It's got Newcrest and BHP behind it and funding the exploration for a number of years now. So I think that's positive news.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You said copper's doing well, is that right at the moment? Oh, yeah, it's rallied, isn't it? Wow. From that March sell-off, 24th, it's gone up pretty much in a nice straight diagonal line from 2.1 to 2.7. It's doing well, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a very good price this morning. I say it's a good price. I think actually it will still look like a cheap price. Yeah. You know, this time next year, I think copper has got to go higher. I mean, it's very difficult to know how the global economy is really going to impact on demand, but if there is going to be a lot of construction of infrastructure, copper for cabling is an enormous part of that. You want to be looking at steel related raw materials like ferrovanadium, nickel will be an important part of that, particularly with the move for people to buy more EVs, electric vehicles. Lead, zinc and tin will probably all do quite well there. Zinc, particularly for the protecting of steel, crash barriers, that kind of thing. This is one of the reasons why the iron ore price is so high. It's still up at $95.6 a ton. Partly because there were some problems with supply in Brazil, but also because iron ore is just being bought up so much by the Chinese for their new infrastructure projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, cool. And that's a lot of company news. Any more?
I think we covered half the world there right now. There was a bit out of Greatland Gold. Sorry, we did that one. Metals Exploration. Yeah. They had an update on their operations. Rambler Metals, they have a progress report on their financing, expected to continue fundraising efforts by the end of July, which is fine. We're confident with Rambler. I think their Canadian project is, you know, has a lot of future potential there, and they've got good people to manage that. So that's what's critical there, and I think Rambler will be a good stock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I have no idea, but I'll take your word for it, John. Marvellous stuff, John. Thanks for that, fella. And
okay.
We'll speak to you next week.
Will do. See you then. Bye.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five: Mercantile Ports and Logistics. And who sneaks in there now and again? I don't know why. Haven't really done anything, I think, is it? Let's look at the chart. MPL. No, it's just gone down. It's now at 0.2 pence. Wow, it's come from 50-odd pence there. So there's always someone pumping that somewhere. At four, Physiomics. And also another contract worth a couple of quid they announced yesterday. It always rallies on every contract like crazy, and then comes back when you realise the contract is worth about £7.50. Assets 3, Geofinity down today. Physiomics is down by 14%, by the way, 509. Mercantile down 5% to 2.29. Geofinity down 2.56 to 1.9 pence. But do you know what? 13 million market cap, you know? It's got raised 2 million, it's got another 2 million coming via warrants, pretty much. And John is turning it around. We'll be break even and churning a profit by Q1 next year. In the very hot space of esports. I don't know if you saw that article I tweeted today. Now you can bet on esports. And, you know, there's only ever going to be that kind of thing. It's only going to be welcome or, unless there's demand for it. You know, it's never going to happen. Bookies are not going to put odds on a sport that no one cares about. So that just shows how popular esports is now. Paddy Power, I think it was, or Flutter, are now offering odds on esports events. So it's getting big. AFC Energy is at 2. By the way, I hold shares in Geofinity. Just do a search for my YouTube video I did on Sunday, 9 reasons why I bought shares. AFC Energy down 3.4% to 19.18 pence. And at 1, Regal Petroleum up 2.4 pence, I guess. They changed their name. I think ENW's. Every oil company now is changing it to Energy. An energy company, if they can, because, of course, there's a stigma attached to oil. And, in fact, if companies aren't changing the name to energy rather than oil, then they need to start thinking about it, I think, because, you know, ESG and all that stuff. All right, top five most liked RNSs are Tizian Life Sciences, Total Voting Rights, and STEM Print ER Update. At 4, Eurasia Mining, Statement Formal Sale Process. At 3, Vesarian Corporate Update and Notice of Results. Hopefully we're speaking to Neil soon on that. At 2, Iron Ridge Resources, acquisition of Capri Metals, Gold, Côte d'Ivoire. And at 1, Vesarin again, 5 million Innovate UK loan agreement. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciate.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.